Oh my goodness. Kaikaraitsan. There's such a good question here. I'll try to finish within 20 minutes or so. Can you stand it? If your bladders are bursting, then don't blame me. Or do if you like. Just don't tell me about it. I've heard Arlika speak about the importance of enacting myths. What is your understanding of this? Well, I really have to say you'll have to ask Arlika, because it's not immediately obvious to me what enacting myths means. I could speculate, but it's his phrase, and I must leave him to work it out. But whether or not this is what Arlika meant, let me just descant a little while on a theme that suggests itself. First of all, this theme of myth. Quite interesting getting some feedback from the study leaders. It was obviously that for some of you, the whole idea of a myth didn't have much resonance. And I began to feel my age, if you see what I mean. I'm sure for some it did. But in those far-off days of peace and love and wearing flowers in your hair and all that, when you had some hair to wear your flowers in, myth was a really living sort of idea for us. I suppose Joseph Campbell had just published. Jung was a very strong influence on the 60s and 70s generations. And it's actually news to me that that isn't still around. Silly me, you know what I mean? I should have thought. And it's actually something I found quite useful to reflect on. Maybe these are harder-edged times or something like that. Maybe you just haven't inhaled enough or dropped enough. Maybe the emphasis of drugs is more on fun and on dancing and that sort of thing, whereas in my day it was very much on exploration and discovery. You know, I've got the psychologist's report to prove it. I'm not trying to recommend it. Oh dear, stories started to come into my mind. You can read about Bante's LSD trip if you want to. So, yeah, what do I mean by myth, or what am I invoking when I speak about myth? I'm not speaking about a particular story. You know, somebody asked me, what is your personal myth and how has it changed? I couldn't tell you what it is. I could never say what it was. It's something felt. So let's start literally with a myth. You know, you hear the myth of what? And myth doesn't immediately come to mind. Let me think of one that's... you hear the myth of Orpheus going into the underworld to recover Eurydice. Going into the underworld. And when you hear that story, first of all, you just hear it as a nice story. But then you realise that you're sort of interested in it in a way that the story doesn't quite justify, if you see what I mean. There's some pull from that story. The poet, the artist, going in quest of his beloved, down into the depths of the most other, the world of the dead, the world of the non-living, that you may find, it doesn't appeal to everybody, you may find sort of begins to speak to you. And you may even find that you're sort of dwelling on it a bit. You know, it may not do it for you, but something will. A bit like, let's say... Yeah, you know, coming a bit more onto topical territory for me. I just re-seen, I think it's for the seventh time, David Tennant's performance of Hamlet, which is transcendental. It's extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. And he brings to life the deep, deep complexity of Hamlet and Shakespeare's unfathomable vision the whole human existential situation in summed up in that play. And watching it again, I found for 3 days, I can't get it out of my mind. The images are keeping coming into my mind. The verses are coming into my mind. Words, phrases, characters. Obviously, it's gone right deep into me. It's speaking to something very, very deep in me. Now, I can't say my myth is Hamlet, but there's something in the myth of Hamlet that is obviously seems to me to be something about my situation, our situation, the human situation, what it is to be alive. the dilemma of it. You know, you could put it to engage in the world of action with all its compromises and its falsities and so forth, or to remain aloof and, well, thereby to betray a deep duty. But that's just to pick one theme at random. So something, when you see a film, it won't go out of your mind. Oddly, it can even be a film that's a bad film. But something won't go out of your mind because it speaks in imaginative language of deep, deep themes. This is what I mean by the personal myth. And we, as Dhamma practitioners, need to be exploring that dimension of our responsiveness through art, through looking at our dreams. The dreams reveal those myths. In the stray thoughts that come to us, the ways in which we read something. Why do we make that interpretation rather than this one? There's something very, very deep coming from, you could say, life itself, or we know not where, probably the best way of putting it, that we need to be tuning into. And not just tuning into it, but trying to bring into our lives. So if I can make any sense of this phrase that's attributed to Alaka, enacting myths, I'd say it's this, that you're trying to work with those deep themes that appeal to you, not in a literal sense, but dealing with the energy that they contain, the erotic energy that they contain. That's the way I come to think of this. The charge that comes from a deep, deep within us, that's erotic in the sense of powering us towards something. And without fixing it, without literalizing it, trying to find a way of expressing it more, trying to find a way of bringing it into our lives as we live them, so that we engage with our lives more deeply, more fully. This, I think, is the art of the Dhamma life. It's really bringing these deep, deep myths that express themselves through you to bear in your Dhamma life. And hopefully you'll find an answering sort of collective myth in the movement itself and in the Dhamma itself, so that you feel, yes, I can. There's room for my very, very unclear, necessarily unclear movement forward. It's most characterized, I suppose, by the work of the artist. I went to see some paintings that Amayavajra from Vajrasana had done, and I think they're remarkable paintings. And he said that when he sets the canvas up, he paints big, big paintings. He doesn't really know what he's going to do, and the art seems to be not letting himself fully know what he's going to do, while using all his training to do it. But if he ever sort of makes it too conscious, the painting dies. So this is a metaphor for life. There's something that we've come to Buddhism because we feel Buddhism has a sort of gives an answering space. If you say an answer, it means a sort of closure, but it's an answering space for this deep sort of quest within us, which is never possible to tie down to any particular form or even myth or story. So when you hear somebody say, oh, my myth is the myth of Orpheus or whatever, I'm afraid it's the equivalent of my spiritual rebirth is my remarriage. I don't want to sound so snooty, but still, it's good to poke fun occasionally. So what I understand by what he means is this sort of deep quest for something that you can't put into words, and trying to find a way of living it out, which may not always be comfortable, may not always fit where you are, and it may not always even fit nicely into the movement. I shouldn't say this to you, but yes, it may not always fit nicely into the movement, and you may find that you have to sort of expand your own understanding before it does, or even sometimes expand the movement before it does. But you need to feel that there's that possibility. And I personally do believe that there is. But this is, I think, a very important way of understanding this enterprise that we're involved in. It's not just a matter of applying techniques and methods and so forth. I will talk more about this tomorrow. But this something in us that we can't make fully conscious, but that is trying to become conscious. And there's more than what we know of ourselves that we're trying to body forth. Maybe that's what he means by enact. We're trying to give it expression. Sometimes naively, sometimes over-literalistically, sometimes one-sidedly, sometimes reactively. But we're trying to give it a form. And different people will find different degrees of ease in that. I'm a relatively simply made sort of chap. And I've never found much difficulty in finding a way forward. I've always found difficulties, but I've always found the movement could contain me. And I found the encouragement, especially from Bhante, to see the enterprise in a vast enough way to be able to do that. But some of my friends have not been able to do that and have had to wander a bit. But, you know, it works out in the end. Or may work out in the end. It doesn't always, but it may do. So I just wanted to touch on that. I'll try to go into it much further tomorrow.